Hello, current affairs fans. You are listening to This Might Be The News. I am your host, Rory, and this week I am joined by two of my favourite regular guests, Sophie.
Hi.
And Paul.
Hello.
Feels like it's been ages since we were all in the same place doing a podcast.
So long, and do you know what? Really nice to have you back.
Thanks.
You
know, I mean, you've hosted two since I've been on my travels.
Yeah, and I'm just really glad you're back.
Are you into it? Are you into the hosting?
It's nice. I do find that I have to look at more facts, which I, as you guys all know, I struggle with, and I just want to prepare everyone with. I've had a very busy week.
Okay, so you're setting expectations now that you've had a busy week again this week.
Yeah, a lot of my week's quite busy, but...
Yeah, okay, I mean, like most people, yeah.
Oh, yeah, all right, yeah. But I just, you know, didn't get round to doing much.
Okay, so listeners, just be warned, Sophie's not going to be leading the conversation. She's not going to be setting the agenda.
But I will give you my opinion on it. And I also, can I also mention that as we do this fine podcast, my friend, dear friend Paul here, has glitter all over his face.
Yes. I do.
So I might get distracted halfway through by the shiny light of glitter.
I have glitter all over my face and also have the head pains of someone who has glitter all over his face.
Is it heavy?
Yes.
Okay. So it might be quite a somber podcast today. Or are we going to try and like...
I think the glitter's going to jazz
lift,
it up.
We're going to lift spirits.
Yeah, your face is lighting up my soul.
I think I'm ready.
Oh, thanks.
Well, you guys have done this long enough to know how we open the show.
Is it with...
The facts.
Facts.
The facts. So, it's been... I mean, we just keep getting big weeks for news, really, don't we? It's a very... A golden era to be a podcast host.
Yeah, but is it always just going to be big news every week? Because that's the nature of news.
Well, don't know, last week we had to cover the budget.
Yeah.
So.
Sorry, listeners, that was quite boring.
Spreadsheet fell.
Spreadsheet fell?
I enjoyed that. That one didn't end well for him, did it?
No. No, not really.
Not at all.
Bad week for Phil.
Sophie, you're pretending you know what. Oh, yeah, that didn't end well for Phil, yeah.
I'm very good at a party. Anyway, oh, yes.
He did a
U-turn.
Oh, you
work in finance. That must be fun.
What's that like? What's your favourite number?
So a broker.
I did actually ask an accountant what's his favourite number this week.
Really?
Had some work drinks.
What was the accountant's favourite number?
It was 7. And the other accountant's was 3. So I thought, odd numbers.
Okay, it's always 7, though. It's always 7.
Is it?
Prime number.
Yeah. Anyway, we're already digressing. I haven't even said what the facts are about this week, so it's a good sign of where this is going today. Indie Ref 2. What do you reckon Indie Ref 2 is, Sophie?
It does sound like a movie.
I think it sounds like one of those free like teenager magazines.
Yeah.
Yeah. Or like Miz. Do you remember Miz?
No.
That was a girls' magazine, and you'd get like toys and stuff.
There'd be like a free plastic horse on the...
And it'd be like a girl with bubbles on the front with like little ties in her hair.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
I mean, it's Indie Ref 2 is the latest magazine for teenagers who like...
who like really boring, drawn-out political debate.
Why have they called... why do they always come up with these names? It's ridiculous.
Well, it's everyone needs a little... hashtag, everyone needs something.
Yeah,
to...
I think they're thinking hashtag first rather
indie
than
ref.
Yeah, it's like Brexit.
Indie, what's indie about?
So independent
referendum.
Right, they've made it sound quite cool then.
Yeah, that's what they're going for.
Indie Ref 2. It's like Trainspotting 2. They're getting on the back end of that.
I love that film.
Nicholas, this one's set in the future, 20 years on from the last independence referendum. Nicola Sturgeon's kicked the skag at it.
She's sobered up and she still wants to leave. She still wants...
Occasionally, under her suit, you can glimpse the wars of the wounds of the war.
She just finds...
that she fought.
Alex Salmon just like walking around Holyrood Palace, just like on a come down.
I imagine him with longer arms than kind of legs, almost.
Do you know what Alex Salmon looks
no,
like?
But that's what I'm imagining walking around
Holyrood. He looks a lot like a toad. He's probably the most toad-like of the politicians.
It's ironic that he's called like Salmon, another fish of the sea.
He's not that fishy looking. He's
more like a...
Do you think he gave himself the name Salmon because the whole idea of them swimming upstream? Well, so it was a brand management thing.
Two quick points. It's not Salmon, it's Salmoned. and also, you don't tend to give yourself a surname.
That isn't a nickname that he's come up with himself. Alex,
Alex the
Salmon.
Alex the Salmoned. Oh, I spelt it wrong. I'll go with it.
Like he's
a tag. He's not like riding on buildings around.
Alexander the Salmon.
A boxer or a wrestler, a British wrestler from the 80s.
Giant haystacks. He would be a good wrestler though.
He would. Anyway, so Nicola Sturgeon, despite saying that the last referendum on Scotland leaving the UK was a once in a generation affair, is saying she wants another referendum.
That's been brewing for ages though. Why is anyone surprised by that?
Well, yeah, I think you're right that she's been threatening this for a while, and she's been saying Brexit
means Brexit.
Brexit means Brexit, and once we've all worked out what that means, I want to leave.
Yeah.
So she's basically said Theresa May isn't letting us involved, get involved in the conversation. We want to say we want to have Scotland have its own little deal with the EU. Theresa May is like, nah, and therefore we want to leave.
Is this going to start a civil war?
If I said yes, what are you going to do about it? Are you going to start prepping?
Some strongly worded tweets, I imagine.
I will get some Instagrams up, yeah.
Are you going to get your house in order?
Will you hashtag pray for Scotland?
I mean, Paul, do you think Nicola Sturgeon is within her rights there?
I don't know. I mean, it's certainly... I mean,
is it your parent voice? I don't know.
But I mean, the political landscape has changed. So before Brexit, it was like, it would be outrageous for her to ask for another one kind of next generation. But I mean, if we are leaving the EU, I mean, a lot of the argument around kind of Scotland, people asking Scotland to vote no and to stay within the union was based around the fact that it's a kind of stronger together argument.
Yeah.
And a lot of people are now saying there is quite some irony of Theresa May saying on one hand, when you look at the EU, oh, we're better out of it. And we're just like strong on our own, and then whilst also saying to Scotland, like, no, you leave us, like, you have to stay in.
Yeah, we're in this together now.
We've got to leave one like age old institution we've been in for several decades, but like one we've had for hundreds of years. Like,
yeah, you can't break tradition.
Yeah, exactly.
I was mainly looking at throughout the whole of that at your beard and the glitter shimmering on it.
You know, I mean, I think often on Newsnight you can see that.
My thing is,
always used to have glitter.
Yeah, a little
strip. Do you like Scotland? Do you want, like, because I'm of the view, I mean, maybe it's a bit too chilled out. Obviously, it's nice, better together. I do believe that. But if they want to go, like, they are a very different nation, you know?
I think an interesting thing is, though, I mean, it was very close. Yeah. It's in a similar way to, like, Brexit, in a way where you go, like, oh, it's a majority have voted to leave. But then there's still like 48% of people very disgruntled.
Should there be like another referendum if there's a 5% in it?
Can we just put an end to the referendums?
Yeah, I'm with you on this.
Stop throwing referendums.
What are we
going
to do if we don't have a referendum though?
We've had enough choice over lots of stuff. You get to vote on Bake Off, you get to vote on pretty much every single TV show.
We didn't get to vote the new Bake Off people in, did
we? Won't get to that. That's a quiz question. Yes! Spoiler.
Hell of a lineup though, guys.
Hell of a lineup.
Well, don't spoil the question.
Don't know who it is, but hell of a lineup.
It's just another glimpse into the fact we don't edit this podcast. So anyway, what were we saying? Oh yeah, so you were saying we're going to have another referendum.
Yeah.
I think this is like really complex compared to even the last one, the last time we had a referendum for Scotland, because we were saying you're not going to do well on your own, and now it's a bit of a different story in that they're going to be out of the EU. And now the EU is in a different position, whereas previously the EU wasn't going to let Scotland join independently because it would send a bad message to other sort of similar situations, like in Spain where you've got Catalonia wanting independence, sends mixed messages. Now the EU is a little bit more on its knees and kind of wants all the friends it can get. So maybe,
I think so, yeah. It's going to keep getting like little areas.
So also, I think the EU would make an exception for Scotland and say, come on in. You can have the UK's place at the table.
All the negotiations between, which haven't really even started, it's all just kind of like, oh, between like the UK and the EU, like, will you let our kind of expats stay or whatever, like, and all this like nudge, nudge, wink, wink, will you do this? It's kind of, I mean, it's for the EU, for them, they can just be like, oh yeah, Scotland, like, absolutely, why don't you come and join the EU if you leave the UK?
Yeah.
It plays well for them, because, I mean, I don't think any negotiators in Brussels are too thrilled with Theresa May at the moment.
No, it's not, I don't think it's going very well, really.
For who?
Well,
for anyone?
No one, really. I mean, Theresa seems to have really got her foot in the door at 10 Downing Street, isn't she?
Mm.
And very much made her mark.
Yeah, I mean, I feel like this is like a poker game where everyone's got a really fucking shit hand.
But it's like, do you not feel like she is leading it a bit? Which I suppose is the job of the Prime Minister, but...
I think she's doing pretty well.
I think she is doing well, yeah.
She is Dolores Umbridge from... she's like
Theresa
most,
May.
She's like more
remember
evil.
Her?
I do love your Theresa May.
Oh, Theresa. Darling, we're doing well.
Sometimes you can do a job well, but the job you're actually doing is awful.
Yes. Yeah. Well, yeah, that's like a villain, isn't it?
Yeah.
A pantomime villain.
She's like kind of in the best place. I think she might like have a pair of twos or something in this.
What does she do there? Like Friday night, she can't be working, right? What does she do to relax? Like she just sits there and just like is grateful. Like she's sitting there going, "I'm doing a rather good job."
She likes call the midwife. I think she said that on an
interview. She?
Yeah.
That's funny.
You can imagine her.
I can imagine her being a big Miranda fan.
Do you think they? Oh, which, she just fell says, over again.
Which says everything you need to know about why I would not be voting for Theresa May anymore.
For Theresa May ever again.
I like the idea that people in that position of power have like little weak spots. So if she likes to call the midwife, whatever, she emails the production company and wants like a set visit.
Important business to be done on the set of Call the Midwife.
I'll be ever so quiet. I'll just sit in the background. I won't make a noise, honestly.
Can I be sort of, yeah.
Could I be an extra?
Oh, where she'd love to be an extra.
Darling, I can do all sorts. I can do all sorts. I can do walks. I can do sits.
I could birth a child.
Just get me in a little outfit.
Hot towels and some scissors.
I'll have to put all that on after the watershed. Theresa May birthing a baby in the early 1900s.
I can hold a camera.
Is that when Call the Midwife is? When is Call the Midwife set?
I don't know.
God knows.
Imagine her booming. Like imagine her on a sound boom, like holding the microphone over the actors. Darling, just a bit of work experience.
Oh, she. I love this vision of Theresa May you've got. Have you ever watched a Theresa May interview?
I don't think I have.
Have you heard her speak?
I don't think I have ever.
Also, I mean, we'll talk about this. I think we're going to talk about this in Task Force. But I mean, if other MPs could have little side jobs, why can't Theresa May work as a boom operator of Call the Midwife?
I think it's the safest place for her is operating the boom.
It's nice. When you've got such a stressful job as Prime Minister, everyone's coming at you at all angles.
Keeps
just
a bit.
She just likes the quiet.
She just keeps herself to herself. Well, obviously, so she's come back with her response to Nicola Sturgeon. Nicola Sturgeon said, "We want to leave. This is a shit show. We want to jump off the sinking ship."
She's full of energy, isn't she, Nicola Sturgeon?
Yeah.
I've seen her speak.
Oh, really? Yeah, she's very passionate. Yeah. I think she's a pretty good politician, although yeah. I think she had a misstep on this particular move. So she said to Theresa, "We want to leave. We're going to have another one of our little referendums." What do you reckon Theresa said?
So
Brexit means Brexit.
She's got a different name. She's got a second slogan
now. She's
got
a new slogan, which is not right now. Now is not the time.
And she's just been repeating
just
that.
Saying it over and again.
Now is not the time. Not right now.
So maybe we could do it in a, like, now is not the time.
Do you think does she do it in, like, different...
Not right now.
Not right now. And then different intonations.
Not right now.
Just not now.
Mum, can I play on the iPad? Not right now, Nicola. No.
Now is not the time.
Now is not the time. It's homework and austerity for you, I'm afraid.
Time to work on your austerity spreadsheet.
Yes.
You will be budgeting from the age of 3.
Mum, that's not a computer game. It is in this house.
It is a game.
So,
quiet. Money. Call the midwives on.
So yeah, Theresa has said basically, nah, mate, nah, not happening. Now is not the time. With the justification being that Scottish voters shouldn't have to make this decision without knowing what they're actually leaving. Mm. So, because they're leaving the UK, but the time, I mean, there's going to be so many spreadsheets and so many different bits of work to try and split up the UK from the EU while splitting up Scotland from the UK all in one go. I wouldn't like to be involved in that.
It's a
messy divorce, that, isn't
messy,
it?
Messy, messy.
So Theresa's coming at it probably mainly from a project management admin point of view.
Sure.
Let's
put a pin in that.
Yeah, let's leave the EU and then go, this is what the UK looks like minus the EU. Now do you still want to leave?
Do you think she's got like a PowerPoint of her plan? I think she uses PowerPoint.
Well, I don't think she probably touches the computer. She's busy holding the boom. She's busy holding the boom.
She's but got like a wand.
Sound not AV.
She's probably on some sort of treadmill saying things she like,
she's
now's
that woman,
not the time.
Like on a treadmill, like getting a fitness in the morning, whilst also talking into a dictaphone.
Is that the English version of like the West Wing, where they're constantly walking through the White House? She's just on a treadmill. And she's got like Philip Hammond next to her on a cross trainer. Just, like, taking
no, rowing. He's just rowing.
He's on a rowing machine.
Whereas Corbyn's very much like a 50 press-ups at home kind of guy.
No, he's just doing yoga on a mat.
Yeah. Jeremy Corbyn's the guy that brings his gym gear in a carrier bag.
Yeah.
Perfect. Like a JD sports bag.
A bag for life.
Yeah, bag for
life. Good old Jezza.
Who's the one on the weight?
Probably Salmond.
Is he?
Tim Farron?
Tim Farron, no.
Tim Farron to all the gear, no idea guy at the gym. He's just like...
Oh. He sat in the lobby having a coffee.
Yeah.
That's me. That's what I'm doing. I'm with you, Farron.
I'm with you.
So yeah, she's... said no.
She said no
and said, wait, it's not the time. We're going to do this in 2 years. And so now, I think Sturgeon's still saying we're going to do it anyway.
She said no, not ever, I read.
No. She has said we can revisit this in 2019, more likely 2020. But now there is nothing holding Theresa back from triggering Article 50. Is it 50 or 51?
It's 50.
Article 50.
Yeah.
Because now she's quashed the Lords' revolt. MPs have backed it, kick Sturgeon aside, so go back and...
She's bloody done it.
Yeah.
It's like she's won a game. It's like she's playing a game of snakes and ladders, and she's got up the ladders. She's missed out the snakes.
Yeah.
She's just about to throw the six.
She's taken a long time, wasn't it? It's not been the quickest game of snakes and ladders.
No, well, she did fall down a couple of snakes.
And we've still got, like, it could be another 2 years before it actually goes through.
Okay, so it's another game starts after that
finish. In terms of board games... if they kind of were proposing like it was going to be like a quick board game like Connect Four,
yeah.
We are watching a very long game of Risk.
Or it's like Monopoly, but instead of going around like just once, whatever, you just keep going around.
Yeah.
Going around. You can pass go and collect £200, but you will have to get to the... You have to go past the Old Kent Road.
Just to throw one more in, it's like when you're playing Scrabble and we'd say, like, Teresa, that's not a word. That's not... It's a word. It's a word. Now is not the time. It's all.
And she's just spelled out. Now is not the time.
So that's not a word, Teresa. I will have 56 points for that.
Now I think you'll find Brexit is a word.
And we'll be like, well, we're not playing with you, Teresa. And she'll say, fine, it's my board game. I'm taking it home with me. I'll play it myself.
Yeah.
So if Scotland, when we get to it in 2020, did decide to leave, would they have your blessing?
Like I said before, I feel like if they really feel like they want to go and they think that that's a better move and there's a majority vote for them, I do think they're slightly different. I think it's nice that we're together, and I think that would be sad to lose that. But
I'm jealous of anyone who gets to kind of like remove themselves from this current government,
this fiasco.
But also, I mean, I'd like to see them give it a go. I'd also just be a little bit worried because. There was reports about if they had have kind of left when they had, and on their like financial planning with like the oil in the North Sea, they would have been in a considerable amount of trouble.
Yeah, it's not often that I have a fact, but
at the facts
in the facts, but yeah, the collapse of oil price has sort of undermined this case. Their projections for revenue was 7.5 billion.
What does any of that mean? What do you mean?
So revenue is like basically money.
Yeah,
7.5 billion is
their revenue for the country.
For what oil was going to generate. And it actually fell to 130 million.
For the size of Scotland, if you've got like £7 billion deficit suddenly.
In your spreadsheets.
Check that out.
Yeah. So that was a fact. Listeners, you can take that
to any
after work drinks.
You're welcome.
And say, now is not the time, on repeat. And about some billions versus some millions.
Yeah, absolutely.
So they aren't... I really hope it's not a campaign of fear like Brexit was.
Mm.
But even from a... Because I'm kind of pro-Scotland now. I feel like they got screwed last time. Because do you remember? They sent George... What was he called? Gordon Brown.
Yeah.
Send Gordon Brown up. He promised them the world.
He'd be Cameron... on the weights, by the way.
He would, actually.
Brown's just got a big leg of lamb in his freezer, which he just punches. like Rocky.
Oh, he so does. So they sent him up. They sent Cameron up, promised the Scots the world. And literally the next day, do you remember, it was like, oh, no, we didn't mean that. We didn't mean that. We're going to sort out England first, actually. It was a real betrayal. So I wouldn't be... I'd understand it a lot more if Scotland did decide to leave.
Yeah.
But it does sound financially like they're not ready
to leave yet.
They haven't got the strong hand they had two years ago.
It's almost like they're going to go... We are going to potentially go through a divorce. But before he or she realises that the other one's having an affair. They need to get their money and stuff together, get their stuff in order, get a good savings account behind them.
So I do hate divorce. Yeah, I hate to agree with her, but I think now might not be the time. And the other thing is, I think Sturgeon does need to do some actual politics and make some progress in her country rather than the silver bullet being, oh, we'll just leave. We'll just leave.
Oh, do you ever think she's just saying it just because it riles everyone up and makes everyone really behind her?
Yeah, it's really emotive. Yeah,
it's really emotive. And she is quite an emotive, like, she's very emotional as a politician, isn't she? She's quite passionate. Yeah. And if you look at her in comparison to Theresa, Theresa's very kind of, you know, English.
And she's made a point, and it is like she has played sort of politics with it, which is another thing Theresa said, in that she wasn't getting let into the conversation and just kind of throwing her toys at the pram and said, right, we're leaving, to highlight all the negativity going on here, when really she probably should have tried a bit more diplomacy and or some other ways, rather than, that's like her one-time use of the referendum threat, isn't it? And it's kind of...
Yeah. Using the fact that the UK is in such a volatile state at the moment is not an argument to leave. You have to put a plan in place for Scotland, which is improved from last time, which was turned down. Yeah. Just saying that, oh, because the UK is more volatile, we should get out, is not a good time to be kind of leaving the union.
I feel like I've very much learnt a lot about this, actually.
I'm glad.
Yeah.
But I actually think that Scotland probably won't vote, if they gave them the chance again to vote for independence now. I think the last two referendums have shown that Scots actually like conservatism. They like things staying the same. They voted to stay in the UK, and they voted to stay in the EU. So they've sort of said a clear message here: we like things
to stay
as they are.
I think there's not enough.
It's like you don't like change.
I don't like change. People don't like change. What are you gonna say, Paul?
I just don't think there's enough to turn voters who voted no into a yes. That's happened. Yeah. I think the people who will get most emotive about it and will be people who already voted yes anyway. Yeah. I don't think they're going to be winning over huge like swathes or enough people in Scotland to then suddenly change their mind and turn it into a yes.
Yeah, too many unknowns. Mm. So those were the facts. You found it useful,
Sophie?
Yeah,
absolutely. Like, well more informed.
Great. Well,
no, those words don't make sense together. Well, but I'm a lot more informed.
Well more informed, mate.
I'm well more informed, mate. Now is not the time.
Yeah, great. Take that. Thanks. Task force. Got a good task force for you.
It's been a big week.
You will not believe who's called me. I answered the phone, the sound of champagne popping. I was like, Gideon, is that you? Gideon to his friends. Yeah. And it was George Osborne.
Bloody hell. Oh.
And so he's had some great news this week. He's been made, on top of his job as an MP, which he's always sort of said is quite well paid, and then he's been doing some stuff with...
BlackRock.
BlackRock, which seems to be doing all right. That's a six-figure salary.
Just £650,000 a year for 52 days' work.
So he had
That's a lot of money.
Yeah, so he had a really good 2016 in reflection. And then he's had some really good news. He's just been given another job, third job.
Mm. Wow.
Being the editor of the Evening Standard.
Yeah, I'm curious to know how much he earns in total per year.
We know it's at least 700 and something, because it's like 72 grand a year if you're an MP.
Yeah.
Does he get, because he's got these different jobs, you need to get taxed for a second job? Do you get even when you've got a third and a fourth job, does the tax keep doubling?
I mean, if anyone's equipped to deal with it, it's the former Chancellor. He's probably set up all the taxes perfectly.
Even bigger week for him with like Philip Hammond doing the U-turns on the National Insurance. If you're taking on self-employed jobs on the side, ideal.
George on his last day is just passing through this little bit of legislation going, if someone does have three jobs and one of the jobs is over £500,000 a year, that one doesn't count. Yeah.
That one you just pay no tax.
Bye guys.
off he skipped to Fleet Street.
Well, so I've got a source inside the Evening Standard.
Oh, I love it.
I don't think I can say that much interesting information, except
more
I
than
did...
that. That's your scoop, listeners.
Leslie, let's call her Leslie.
Okay.
Leslie showed me the email that was sent round. It was from I can't say his name, Evgeny.
Yeah.
Evgeny.
The guy who owns the Evening Standard.
He was just saying how he's welcoming him along and the fact that he will continue to do his MP duties, but that is still to be debated. His role in is still to be debated.
Editor of a daily paper 5 times a week. Yeah. That's surely, especially in your first year of the job, that's round the clock. Like, yeah. You need to be picking up the phone at 3 a.m. Yeah.
Particularly when you've never worked at a newspaper before. You'd imagine there's quite a lot of stuff, even just like how to lay out the paper.
Well, he came into the office. Yeah. He came into the office at 1:10. Magically, when everyone's on their lunch hour. And I think that the editorial team were really angry.
I hope he doesn't think that's where most jobs start. I know what he was doing as an MP.
She said it was really awkward, actually, because he came over and said hello and said how excited he was to be working. And then he sort of got ushered off, I think, because everyone was so angry.
How little work do you have to do as an MP that you can not only have a job one day a week working at BlackRock, you can be giving speeches for up to £22,000 an hour, which he does. And then you 22. Can also take on as your third job, the biggest job of them all.
I was going to say, if you're getting paid to do speeches at £22,000 an hour, what does that work out per word? Like £100 per word? Like every word you said was just loads of money. You'd be like spiffing money. Just...
Especially if you're a man of few words, which George probably is.
And do you think he just longs it out? Because he's just, I was saying, Paul said he thinks that he'd be like planning it. I don't think he plans any of the speeches. I think he riffs.
But I mean, this is why I
thought Robin Williams.
he just
goes out and does some voices.
He's just riffing. I don't even know what he does the speeches on.
Improv with Gideon.
This is one of the things that's like blowing my mind the most is he's one of the least charismatic of like that set of Tories who graduated almost from the cabinet, like the Cameron clan. As in, if you were thinking about it, you'd be like, oh, I could imagine Gove. Well, Gove was a Times journalist, and obviously Boris has got a journalistic background, but he's a character, a big personality, someone who is going to bring some, I don't know, something different to a paper, but George Osborne.
Imagine working in, like, the arts section of the Evening Standard and pitching features to George Osborne.
Yeah.
Going like, oh, yeah, we've got this thing with Stormzy.
Cut that, didn't fund that.
Yep, sorry. It's all finance all of the time.
What is he like then? Like, well, can you give me a little character profile on him from what you know?
Well,
just to help me, and we don't know what the task force is yet.
Was he in the Bullingdon Club too?
Yep.
Okay, he was one.
Oh, okay, all right.
So he
back to one.
Loves debauchery. Hating on the poor, trashing restaurants.
Does he like women?
There was that alleged story, wasn't there, with him and being the friends with the prostitute. And,
yes. Do you mean that photograph where there's bags of coke on the table and it's him kissing a sex worker? That photo.
Male or female?
Female.
So he's into women.
What was the story though? Was that all true? Was that, I don't know. Look it up, listeners, but we're just
Everyone was just like, oh yeah, that's nothing. Everyone was young once, and you're like, okay.
Yeah. He's kissing a sex worker while a bag of cocaine is on the table in like a travel lodge.
No, just in the kitchen. Listen, I'm not...
By the kettle.
I'm not going to like have a go at him for doing drugs. I think it's like, you can't be like, oh, I think everyone in the establishment is probably there like... he's not the only person in Westminster, I think, who's done cocaine.
Do you think he would rock up to like his first day with glitter all over his face like you?
Probably. But I'm fun. He's boring.
Boring. Well, so this is the thing. So once
he might be really fun, guys. I think you're sort of selling him short. Maybe he's a laugh.
Look at him. Just watch any interview with George Osborne and he is the least fun man. He also looks like he's been reanimated or he's been like one of those, you know, those really high-tech robots these days, which almost sound and look human, but aren't.
I've just remembered, because I do know someone who's met with him once or twice, and apparently he's just like, this is like peak like 2011, so like near in the job, apparently he's just like fucked from tiredness, like he's trying to stare you in the eyes and can't, because he's so tired and just frigged from
He's got quite a lot of bags, isn't he?
Yeah.
Imagine if the bags start to sag, so he actually doesn't have any vision after a while.
I know something that can help him if he's getting really tired.
He might bring back the good old Fleet Street days of the 80s. Just,
I feel bad for the. I mean, I don't feel bad for the staff of the Evening Standard because it's a Tory rag, but I do feel bad for them having to. It's always annoying when you get a manager who's incompetent
and has no experience.
If you've spent 30 years as a journalist and you've worked up to like a sub editor. And then suddenly the promotion you're going for goes to George Osborne.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, his name is just a joke. Yeah.
Gideon Osborne.
What's George asked?
Sorry, we digress. How strange. So
I don't want to talk to him for very long at all, you've told me.
Pleasantries had been exchanged. Yeah, I said congratulations.
Did you say congratulations? Because you shouldn't do that. Of course, Maria. I said
congratulations.
Think.
I mean, got to be happy for him. I wanted to know, what do I get from this?
Just keep your friends close and your enemies closer. Is that what's going on?
Yeah, why are you calling me George? And he said, well, that's the thing. I don't actually know how to run a paper. From what I hear, you've got a grip on the news, Rory.
Yes.
You've got a grip on the news. I've heard about this podcast. I haven't listened to it, but it sounds great. Bring Paul and Sophie. You're going to help me create the first issue.
Out of all the phone calls you've had, this is the most plausible. You might have stumbled across the podcast on one of his late night sessions where he's just had a coffee.
Yeah,
and a sex worker.
Just coffee and a sex worker. my 11 a.m. like daily routine.
Nothing like that to wake you up.
It was only a Monday. So he wants us to run the first issue. So, I mean, even more salt in the wound than this poor sub-editor who's going for the job. Like, sorry, you're not even involved in the decision-making now. Sophie's running the news desk.
Hello, caller. What do you like?
Paul's running the commentary section. Yeah. I've got sport, I've got this.
I'm not going to lie, the news section is going to be so poor if I'm running it. Like,
light on the ground.
It'd be light on the ground.
I'm thinking about buying a van. Front page. Family newsletter.
It would just be me doing adverts for things I want.
Rory went away to San Francisco.
Just creative writing.
A little bit burnt, one side of my face.
And Lucy's doing very well in her GCSEs.
So he wants us to open the
world. That's the sort of stuff that would be on it.
Ladybird, safely seeing Ladybird would probably make it into the first 10 pages.
With a big picture of a ladybird, because they're really bright and fun.
Like that London Diary.
So how are we gonna launch with a big splash? What's going to be our front page story?
I think
story?
You've got to give away a freebie.
What's
like
our
on
freebie?
The front. Well, you know, like I was saying earlier about the Ms. magazine.
Yeah, yeah,
you get like bubbles with back in the day.
Yeah. What do Londoners want?
A little bag of Coke.
Little bag of Coke.
If you read the whole paper, you'll get slightly high. Just from there'll be a light sprinkling of cocaine throughout the paper.
You know, they said it was something like 80% of all banknotes have residue of drugs on them.
Yeah.
So like now it'll be like 80% of pages of the
Evening Standard. That is an absolute guarantee there will be drugs on every paper that we sell.
Well, let's think what do London... Like, it's for commuters, really, isn't it? I mean, it's for Londoners, but a lot of commuters. What do they want? So I think Coke is brilliant. Yeah, they're tired. They're all tired. They probably would want something like Coke, coffee.
Yeah.
Would sex be involved, do you think?
What do you mean?
Coupon for sex from a sex... He's probably got some ties with some sex workers.
I think that we're verging
is
on libel.
Is that too far? Yeah,
maybe.
It's too far. All right,
I think, essentially... Well, I mean, he's still probably quite bitter about Theresa May, isn't he?
Yeah.
So he'd probably lead a big, like, expose... story about her.
No, but he could do it in a subtle way, like a news way, where he could do like a spot the difference and they have two pictures of her, and then he does one where he like puts like makes her look stupid.
You trying to turn this into a puzzle magazine?
Is this Top Santé puzzle magazine?
Have you ever read a paper? Do you think
it's Take a Break? It's basically turning into Take a Break.
The crossword section is now just the whole newspaper.
But I would take out the crossword and put in a word search, much easier.
Well, one of the theories about why he wants to do this is to set himself up to become the Mayor of London.
Oh.
So it worked for Boris. Boris used to work for The Telegraph. Then he...
Did he just read Boris's autobiography and be like, that's a good idea?
Imagine modelling your career around Boris Johnson. That's so scary.
Imagine if that's his mentor. Yeah, imagine if he goes and has meetings with him in Costa Coffee every month and just has a little mentor meeting.
Bojo and Jozza.
Yeah, coffee catch up.
Caramel latte for me, please.
Costa Tuesdays.
Do you want a caramel short break?
Yeah, George, can I have a sip of yours? Oh, no, you wouldn't want that.
don't
want to try mine. So, Boris used to edit the Spectator?
Something like that.
And then became an MP and then became Mayor of London and now is the foreign whatever.
And
now
in everyone's hearts.
Now George is wanting to do the opposite. He's like, done Chancellor, now what can I do? Editor. And then he'll grow into the cycle and then maybe become Mayor of London. So what is his message to London? Because as the owner of the Evening Standard said, like, no one is more London than George Osborne. Or like London, he's London through and through, I think.
Wow. Yeah, they did stress that he's definitely very London.
Where did he grow up?
London, mate.
Let's try and get some live research on that one.
I think that depends a little bit. He's meant to be what? The voice of art? Can I just
from his social skills in a cellar, it seems like.
Yeah.
I mean, we're just looking at photos now of George.
Do you know what? He's I'm awful with pictures and names.
Yeah, he was born. Oh, he was born in London.
In London.
Great.
We take it all back. He was born in Paddington.
Paddington.
Wow. Paddington Bear.
Oh, well,
he's so London.
He's so
George
London.
George Osborne's so London.
Yeah.
I hear he's got one of those I Love London hats and he just wears it all the time.
Do you know what? Maybe London. He should start doing that. Like, just being like really pro London. Like, if he's the London magazine.
Yeah.
He needs to wear like the hats and the, like, I know you've got, yeah, like.
He just hangs out on escalators telling people to stand on the right.
Yeah.
He's that London. all his day at bank just going up and down the escalator.
Pours coffee all over the metro. Yeah. And just scatters Evening Standards everywhere.
Or yeah, just bulk stealing the metro.
Just like a little burglar, just like Pink Panther-esque, just nipping around London.
How good would that be, watching George Osborne hand out Evening Standards outside the
tube? That'd be brilliant.
Station.
That's the
best place for him. Keep him away from the actual running of the thing.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know him personally, so I don't know what he's going to personally bring to the job. But
it would just be loads of retrospective of his time as Chancellor.
Referring to the golden years of 2010.
Do you think there'll be a special column for him where it's like, Ask George?
Like an Ask Deirdre thing?
Yeah. Or it could be like more of a Lonely Hearts sort of, maybe it could show a different side to him. Like, I'm having
Rush
some problems. Yeah.
George, I'm 35 and still can't afford to buy a one-bed flat in Zone 6.
What do you recommend? Well, you should have saved and your parents should have given you more pocket money when you were younger.
Yeah, they should have taught you the value of a pound.
And a spreadsheet. Were you budgeting from the age of 3?
Well, I think, like, because Theresa May is probably going to be happy about this because it keeps him away from the backbenches. Or do you think it's more dangerous for him because he's now got the outlet of a paper to slagger off it?
There's two things in this. First of all, Theresa, I feel like she knows the big plan. And I feel like we're on her chessboard and she's just moving everyone around a little bit. That's my one view.
Yeah.
Second view, I've forgotten, so I'll come back to it.
It's kind of like the propaganda arm of the Tory party, isn't it? I mean, but he's not, I mean, he's moved backbench. He's been kind of like royally herded out.
Yeah.
From one stage where it looked like he might even have like an outside shot of being the next Prime Minister, to kind of backbench. So I don't think he's that enamored.
He was like
with
the first thing she did, wasn't it? Fire him. Like,
yeah.
She gave him a real dressing down, said, you're off, you're out of here.
So I don't think he's not going to be hugely pro Theresa, but he's certainly like, I mean, the Evening Standard's always been accused of being like a fairly right wing publication.
Right.
And I think there is like a serious point in terms of if you're circulating press that widely, kind of for free, and it's like being handed out everywhere, it does kind of have that like propaganda feel.
Yeah.
Yeah, because you often use it for just wrap stuff up in it, and by accident you just start reading it, and then
not quite my point.
What are you wrapping up?
It's like if you're packing up glasses or
like fish and chips in the '30s, cleaning windows with vinegar,
birthday presents on a tight month.
Yeah. No, it's cool. It's vintage now.
Yeah.
I've made some underwear out of the front page of the Evening Standard.
I might actually just keep a load of Evening Standards, and they'll probably be vintage.
And I mean, is there anyone else he should be taking with him? Any other politicians he should be appointing to run his team? So we're just, three of us are kind of just like deputy editors running the show.
I don't really know the gang.
I'd really like him to be quite wild and hire Corbyn to do a gardening column.
Yeah.
Which I think is probably where Corbyn will end up. In The Guardian doing a like Corbyn's allotment.
Yeah, how to be sustainable.
I think he'd like that now. I think he'd be happily stand down to sit in his allotment.
Yeah, I think George could do everyone a favour and give Jezza a job.
Theresa could do fashion.
Yeah.
She could do the fashion
shoes.
Pages.
Yeah.
Expensive trousers.
Yeah, my top five.
She liked trousers.
Yeah, there was a story.
Who likes trousers?
There was a story a few months ago. I think we covered it on this. Caught you out there, not listening, every week. She spent £1,000 on a pair of trousers. Everyone went mental.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
Well, I did get travelling, didn't I?
It's true. It's a different world these guys are living.
Like Amber Rudd could do like a really good travel guide where it's just like, stay in Britain. Lock the front door. Keep those bastard foreigners out.
Britain is closed for business.
Clockwork Orange is coming.
Yeah.
Why go to Marbella when you go to Margate?
He's got to find a place for his old porky friend Cameron, though, hasn't he?
Porky Cam.
DC's got. He must be at a loose end. What could Dave?
I don't even know what he'd do now.
He'd do music, wouldn't he? He's always fancied himself as like a bit of a musician.
Big Mumford fan.
Chose the Eaton Rifles and his Desert Island Discs.
Yeah, not understanding.
I think Cam's going to take.
Oh no,
he
fully understood it.
Really?
Well, if you look at it, because it's all about some Eton cadet force beating up the local kids.
Yeah.
He understands that side. He's just siding with the fucking antagonist, not the protagonist.
I think Cameron might just take a backseat now and let Sam have a go. You know, like, you know, he's had his career.
Yeah.
Famous, so maybe Sam, she's Cam, just going to do her stuff. I think that's quite nice. Quite a nice idea.
Well, yeah, got to look after your mates.
But I definitely think there's got to be a word search, and there's not enough word searches out there.
Well, to sum up, because we've got to sum it up, we're running out of time on Task Force, as always. We turn it into a puzzle book.
Yeah. Just to give it that vibe, you know, just accessible.
We're going to take a puzzle book, change all the answers to now is not the time.
And just, like, yeah, subliminal messages in the word searches.
Sprinkle it with cocaine and off we go. Off we go.
London. Jez talking about compost on the back. Corbyn's compost, that's what it'd be called.
London will be high as a kite while the Tories dismantle the country. And,
and well, if you have any questions, you can just email into George's column within the magazine.
Yeah, or this might be the news at gmail.com.
And we'll pass it on.
Well, thank you both. I'll get back to George.
Thanks.
Quiz?
The quiz. You guys ready?
Here we go.
I'm always ready.
I just got a heart palpitation.
Did you? Because you were nervous?
No, because I drank a lot of vodka and pink lemonade last night. Oh dear. Yeah, Waterman.
So this is actually a bit of... It's going to be a high point scoring quiz. There's opportunities to score lots of points.
Do you know what? I have almost 100% surety that I'm not going to score any points, but I'm going to try my best.
Don't talk about my mate Sophie like that.
Right, sorry.
Okay. Question number one.
Ready.
Name all four members of the new Bake Off team.
Paul.
Yeah.
Prue Leith.
Yeah.
Sandy Toxfig.
Yeah.
Paul Hollywood.
Yeah.
Noel Fielding.
4 points to Paul.
This is how we do it.
This is how we do it.
Now we're talking Sophie's language.
Yeah. Even though I lost the point.
Okay. Question number two. What, according to Rex Tillerson, is on the table?
That's it.
What has he said is on the table? Rex Tillerson is the new Secretary of State for Trump.
Oh. He's got a cool name. I like that name. He's on the table. Oh, the...
defence?
The wall, the wall.
On the table. He said, like... You know, oh, when something says,
coffee.
Like...
Yeah.
You know when people say...
No, less literal.
You know when people say...
There is,
like,
a coffee on the table.
I mean, there might be a coffee on the table, but next to the coffee, he said there is a certain, I don't know, political decision that he's putting on the table. Remember, he's like the foreign secretary. So what would he...
Mexico?
Would
he...
Syria?
No.
Russia?
Military action against North Korea is now on the table.
All right. That's good. That's good, because that's not that kind of speech isn't escalating at all.
No.
That kind of rhetoric's really good for everyone's nerves.
Yeah, it's quite chilled, isn't it? It's good, on the table.
Good for everyone's nerves. Really good thing to sort of put out there for a nutter like Kim Jong-un.
Ideal to start another war.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean,
I might use that a bit more, though. This is on the table, like, just in general discussions.
Yeah.
You know, the idea of me having lunch is on the table. Can you do that?
See, is that your kind of... blurring the lines, which I quite like, between literal things you can put on tables and concepts.
Yeah, that can be your new thing.
I think, yeah.
Question number three. You can get two other points for the other...
Oh, I can't wait to get the points.
There's a total of 3 points to get here. Who was confirmed as the final and third headliner for Glastonbury this week? Name a pop star who's really big at the moment.
Paul.
Yeah.
Ed Sheeran.
Point for Paul.
Oh.
And you get some more points if you can name the other two acts,
headliners.
Acts that are headlining.
Sophie. Okay.
Yeah.
Beyonce.
No.
She's
Paul.
Yeah.
Pet Shop Boys.
No.
I'd watch that.
They always do.
I was in the room
with
the Pet
they?
Shop Boys last night.
Oh yeah. How were they?
Good. One of them looked quite annoyed though, because the DJ, as soon as they walked in, started playing West End Girls.
Yeah.
You would.
Yeah. Well, Rod Stewart's playing Isle of Wight Festival.
Okay.
I'm very excited.
The XX?
No points for that. No, it's Radiohead and Foo Fighters.
Cool.
Yeah.
2008 course. They wanted their lineup back.
Yeah.
This is what Brexit Britain sounds like. It's just Ed Sheeran.
Have you heard Ed Sheeran's song? Galway Girl.
Yeah, I have.
It's genuinely one of the most appalling things
I've
heard.
It's so awful, isn't it?
It's proven to be the most popular song on the album. Not lying.
Yeah.
It's literally so sappy.
Genuinely, a lot of like Ed Sheeran songs, you go like, fair play, you've written a song, you know your demographic there. I think he should be ashamed of himself.
It's the sort of thing where you imagine a music video to be loaded ladies dancing in long skirts with hankies.
Yeah, hanky.
It's just gonna be a riff.
Morris dances.
It's gonna be a riff on like the Bewitched Sailor V video.
But
when,
yeah.
But yeah, I was in a cafe yesterday, and a funky house remix of Galway Girl came on the radio, and I was like, just fuck this.
I would have stabbed myself in the eye.
Fuck this for a life. Someone's already
been out a little while.
It's only been out a week, and someone's found time to funky house remix.
Stand up and left.
Kill me now. Okay, this is where we get more into the questions that don't have answers. Question number four. In a major study, turns out a load of words aren't being used anymore. Can you name some like old words that people don't say anymore that are on my list?
Bequeath?
No.
Bequeathed?
Yeah.
Bequeathed?
Quiff?
Nothing to do with bequeathing.
Quaff? Quaffing? Oh no, slut. Do you know, my granny uses the word slut in a completely different way too. She was like, you don't want to look like a slut. And I was like, I'm wearing trousers, I'm cool. She's like, no, just dirty.
Oh, okay.
Sorry.
Slut is not... No, slut's still being used.
Gammon used to be a word for a prostitute. No, that's from writing a play about prostitutes.
Yeah, a bit of gammon. No, I think... I don't know, this is like too obscure, to be honest. This is quite a hard question. It's like, say what I'm thinking.
Okay. Say which words aren't used is so hard. Obviously,
they're not using them anymore.
Words that I've got in front of me. Golly.
Oh, but I like that. Golly. I use golly.
Matey.
Oh, mate.
Ta-ra.
Yeah, I say that all the time.
Can we actually make this happen? Comb, ta-ra.
Comb, cobbler, and...
Cobblers don't barely exist anymore,
isn't it? This is a sad one.
Apparently
people aren't saying mucking about anymore because the kids have stopped mucking about because they're just on computer games.
Okay, I think we can bring it back this week.
I miss the golden years of the George Osborne era.
When
kids used to muck around on the streets and people
would... pigs.
Ta-ra!
He didn't fuck a pig. No one fucked a pig. We're not saying anyone fucked a pig.
No, my statement is completely unconnected.
Unconnected.
Just that's what kids used to do.
Final question.
All right, matey, go ahead.
I mean, Paul's won.
Not in life, though, right? Yeah. Not in life.
Okay, let's do what we usually do. And if Sophie gets the last question right, she wins the quiz.
Yes.
Sorry, I don't. This is not how quizzes work.
What can children study at Tubers Academy?
Sophie?
Yeah.
You want to say tuba, don't you?
Tubing.
Tubing, what, like in Thailand? We just... yeah!
Going down the river on New Year's Day.
5-year-olds mashed on whiskey.
Beers on your belly. Just you lie there going down a little...
How to paint those little neon dots around the eyes.
Having one of those party buckets. No, it's how to be a vlogger and be like, grow up and be like Zoella.
Oh, tubing.
Cool.
Yeah. Anyway, we've run out of time again on This Might Be the News.
Alas.
Congratulations, Paul.
Thank you.
For winning. And thank you
well done, matey.
For joining me.
Ta-ra.
It's ta-ra from me.
A ta-ra from me.
And it's a golly goodbye from me.